Good afternoon, everyone. It's your Commissioner Farrell Elliott, and I am pleased to be joined by one of our best competitors and one of my greatest friends in the world. He is the Cash Money brother, Mr. Sean Ligon. How you doing today, babe?
I'm doing good.
Oh,
How are
I
you?
tell you, yesterday, Sunday, I'm settled down in front of Red Zone, and between 2:30 and 4:30, it was football nirvana. It was the best, most exciting time that I have had this season. I was absolutely in heaven watching these games yesterday. Wasn't it compelling? Wasn't it great?
Yeah, especially the Houston Tennessee game.
Oh,
put on quite a show. Man, that was exciting to watch.
Everything about it was wonderful. Some of the coaching decisions had me scratching my head. You know, this thing now that has become a real decision of putting the coaches on the hot seat. Do I go for two or do I kick one? It's become the big coaching decision. When the game goes overtime, the two captains came out, Deshaun for the Texans and Byard, the safety from Tennessee. And when Byard won the coin flip, you could see you can see Watson's body language is, oh man, you know, we're going to give the ball back to Henry. It's going to be all over, you know, and kind of what it was. Congratulations to all of you who had Derrick Henry in your lineup. I had the pleasure of having him in the lineup a couple times. I also had the pleasure of competing against him a couple times. So, you know, that was quite a day. If you had, a mix of players yesterday, you could put up some scores, but scores were pretty flat around fantasy football yesterday for the most part, Sean.
Yeah, it was. It looked like on paper a very good weekend for some high scoring games to develop, and they just didn't. You know, I mean, it looked like you would have thought Atlanta, Minnesota would have been a shootout. There were some points scored in that game, but you know, the Jacksonville Detroit game look like it should have some more points in
uh-huh.
it. Just things just didn't seem like both teams wanted to cooperate in these matchups.
Not for fantasy purposes. And defense rises as the season goes on. Defense rises, and I think we saw a lot about that. Currently in the KFFSC, Ralph Chavon, 131, and Ralph continues to lead. He has completed his 600 minutes of play with a 131. We'll see if we can hold off a tip of the cap, Sean. You know, a couple old dogs that have been in this almost as long as you have got it at Porky. Scott Christian and James Hicks are currently in 10th place. The number won't hold for them as their 600 minutes are complete. But Christian and Hicks, a big compliment from the commish. You have the head, Derrick Henry. Good job, boys, drafting Derrick Henry. What they did, and not a lot of people did, but they did the old commissioner's rule, a team coming out of the bye week, if they have rookies, promising rookies that have yet to develop, go ahead and get them in your lineup. Running back Swift for Detroit, a huge fantasy day. Swift and Henry were the number one and number two running backs. Both of them populated the backfield. Got it at Porky's, Scott Christian and James Hicks, currently sitting in 10th in the KFFSC. Here's a big score, Sean. Bobby Sangerman, a 182, took his team from triple digits in placing all the way up to 38th. And, oh, you know, I love talking about her. She's such a pleasure in my life. It's so great to have her in the league. Stacy Perez. Everybody giggled at Stacy when she drafted Justin Jefferson in the 7th round. I told her, I said, look, if you can't figure out who to draft, if somebody just took your players, if you feel like you've been what's the word, is it, Sean, when somebody drafts the player in front of you, you were going to get what is that word?
Snipe.
There you go. If somebody snipes you for your pick, just go ahead and pick from your list of explosive rookies that you know you want to get, you know, and Justin Jefferson was one of those. Stacy Perez on the way to 170-35 score, 9th place current standing for Stacy with that team. Sean, that's what happened yesterday with some of our players, and we are not complete. We have, as we come to you tonight, we have a Monday doubleheader. We have what they used to call in baseball the day-night doubleheader. I think that's how you would characterize this one. Now, these doubleheaders, and they are truly a gift from the schedule maker and a great – great matchup. We've got a team that features two of the top six running backs taken in the draft, one at Dallas and one at Kansas City. We've got a receiver playing tonight that was taken at the end of the second round that would probably be the first receiver off the board for playing for Arizona. We've got the most improved player at any position. I'm giving out that award, and you can argue with me if you want, but I'm going to say Josh Allen is the most improved player in the NFL. We've got a guy playing tonight that truly had a chip on his shoulder, wanted to go somewhere and prove that he is the man, and he is doing it. That's the wide receiver at Buffalo, Stephon Diggs. We've got the top tight end in all of fantasy football. He continues to prove with Kansas City Chiefs, and we've got all that plus Cole Beasley. So we got a really good situation of players. I think what you want to talk first about is running back. Ezekiel Elliott now takes full front and center of carrying the Dallas Cowboys on his shoulder. Doesn't mean that they're not going to be passing the team, or being the passing team that they have been, but he's going to carry the culture of the Cowboys with him. So that's what a bit of a shift that we will see on the field, and the story will be determined as it develops in the locker room. And then in Buffalo, where the visiting Chiefs come in, with the signing of Le'Veon Bell, what do you think we're going to see from the young rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
I would assume Clyde Edwards-Helaire has to know what kind of back is coming in, a back with very good receiving skills, a veteran in this league that's put up big numbers before. It does a lot of the same things that Clyde Edwards-Helaire does. I would think he would want to show out tonight and stake that this is his job. Mm-hmm. He can do this job. Mm-hmm. And I would expect him. There should be a sense of urgency from him tonight. I would certainly assume he'll have a decent game. You know, the one knock I would have on Clyde Edwards-Helaire so far is just he's not been real good in a short yardage situation.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he is a little small for that. And yeah, hopefully for him, he does well in the passing game tonight, has some explosive plays, and you know, maybe he can hold on to most of his role and Le'Veon only takes the goal line work and some third down work.
My Friday appearance on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour with our beloved Eric Balkman, Eric presented it very much like you did, is that Bell, the flip side of that is that Bell comes in and takes a lot of work away from Helaire. And I see a balancing, and I see an increase in potential points for Helaire, not in touches. Touches go down, quality touches go up, points remain the same, if not increasing. You know, if we take a look at DeAndre Swift, what I mean by that, he had 14 touches last year or yesterday, but he rushed for over 100 yards. He rushed for two touchdowns. And, he's getting many more touches than that right now. I believe in young players very much in this league, but I also believe in the fact that they may hit the wall. So if you drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you're doing well. If you put the right players around him, you've got a chance to advance in these playoffs. You've got a chance to be playing meaningful fantasy games in December. You want a Helaire who has not been worn down by the season. So that's what I'm talking about. And if you somehow have both these players on your team, I doubt if you do, but if you do, you're sitting in a real pretty situation. So I think there's a lot in this offense for both these players. The other two running backs, Thompson and Williams, is that correct, Sean? Thompson and
Yes.
Williams, the other two backs there. I think they disappear from considerations. I think we see a lot less jet sweeps, especially with your favorite receiver, number 14. What's his name, Sean?
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins, you know, Watkins being injured. I think we see a lot less jet sweeps. We may see, although I don't really think we may, but we may see less Patrick Mahomes running the ball. So all those things are still to be seen, but I don't think Edwards-Helaire owners should panic. Let's move on. Stephon Diggs, big numbers tonight, Sean.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's been proven to be a pretty foolproof on that. Again, this game sets up again for a very high scoring. Should be the over and under this game is right around 55. So people in the desert also are expecting a high scoring game. We'll see if this bucks the trend of the weekend where both teams' offenses actually show up in the same game and we actually get one of those shootouts, sort of like Tennessee and Houston, as we were talking about earlier. So, yeah, I think so. Be a good
Here's an
one.
idea that I have, Sean. Now you got to help me with it. I'm putting this together. As we begin our talk about the second game with Mr. DeAndre Hopkins. Now, Houston sent their number one receiver away and didn't properly replace him. What is their record now? Is it 1-5? Houston,
Yeah.
1-5. Okay. Robbie Anderson, the number one receiver from the New York Jets, the number one downfield threat. They sent their receiver away and didn't properly
Yeah.
replace them. Or what are they, 0-6?
I believe they're 0-6. Yeah, I
Minnesota
believe so.
sent Diggs away gave most of it to Thielen. Now, you could argue that they went out in the draft and got a very, very good receiver. But
Right.
let's just say that they did send Diggs away. Their record is
What do they have? One win?
one and four, 1-5, 1-5, I think. And then our final team, oh goodness, I've lost my train of thought here. There is another one that sent the number one receiver packing, but that would go further to prove our point. But just at least on these three, so we have a record of 2-16 for those three teams. Just like in fantasy football, you got to really love your number one receiver. Don't send your number one receiver packing if you're not going to replace him. Be like Seattle, have two number ones.
Yeah. Now,
Hopkins takes the stage tonight. This is his first primetime game of the year. Just give me an off the knee point prediction for DeAndre Hopkins tonight against the Cowboys.
I play in one league where I have him and Kyler Murray, and I'm down about 80 points with those two and Clyde Edwards-Helaire left, and
Oh, you got it. You got him right where
I don't really think, I don't think I'm out of it, with Dallas.
going.
With Dallas's defense, I see no reason. Hopkins' floor should be 25. I mean, it's Dallas's defense is just so bad. It's just so bad. And Murray just seems to look for Hopkins like he should all the time. So, I mean, I would say if you're putting I would say 28 tonight. That's my guess. 28.
28 for Hopkins tonight, says Sean Ligon. Let's go back to Buffalo because we don't want to just deal with the slam dunks. The
Right.
Buffalo Bills, this was my most difficult start for the weekend. It is Devin Singletary. And I couldn't get him out of my lineups, and I didn't really think I wanted to.
Yeah.
Based on some of the play from some of the players yesterday, maybe I should have. What do you expect from Singletary tonight?
It's just so difficult with him. Again, this game should be a lot of offense, should be a lot of ball going up and down the field. You would think he should be involved in some of the passing game more than he is, but it's
One
just,
catch last week for 8 yards, Sean.
yeah,
The game scripted, you would say, oh, well, they're going to have to throw the ball to Hopkins since they're not doing anything. He's going to catch a lot of passes. One catch, 8 yards left from this player.
yeah, and he's not scoring any touchdowns. That's the problem with him. He's
Yeah,
never scoring touchdowns unless he
you've
busts a
been.
long.
He's got to score his touchdowns outside the red zone.
Yeah.
He's got to move.
Exactly.
So you've got two quarterbacks, the matchup between Allen and Mahomes. two exciting quarterbacks to watch.
Yeah.
Last year when we went to the playoffs, Allen folded under the pressure competing against Deshaun Watson. What does he do tonight?
Hometown, home game tonight, national stage again. I know it's not a prime time game, but it's still close to a prime time game. A lot of eyes on him tonight. I think he'll rebound from not looking so great last week in his first shot to really shine. So I do think he'll rebound tonight. I mean, Kansas City has a pretty good defense, but they like to gamble a lot, so there should be some big plays for Buffalo. I think Josh Allen probably has a nice game tonight and puts up some very nice fantasy numbers for you.
Well, both these guys are going to start. So here's a guy that may not have been in your lineup, and it's probably too late now. However, you could be down to still making the decision between this receiver and receivers playing on one of the other teams. So, and that is Mecole Hardman, and this is a perfect example of what I talk about.
Right.
It seems like he gets significant quality of targets when he gets them. And he's got some big numbers that he can put together with yards, average yards per catch. And it oftentimes he gets behind the safety and heads to the end zone. And much like we saw, people asked me what was wrong with Cooper Kupp. I thought, well, last night Cooper Kupp could not locate the ball. The number one rule of the wide receivers, find the ball. Mecole Hardman seems to high point the ball and do a great job with that. That's what I like about Mecole Hardman. Is that enough to put him in your lineup tonight, Sean?
It just depends on what your other options are. I mean, like you said, you don't have a lot of options at this point. You've got a he's a big play guy. And like you said earlier, with Watkins being out, he somewhat takes somewhat of Watkins' role. They kind of spread it out more. They don't give it all to him. But he should have a few more opportunities than he normally does. I guess the only other guy that you might be choosing between would be like a guy between like him and the Davis guy for Buffalo, who's also a big play guy. That might be a choice. That case, I think I would favor Davis a little more. But, if you're down and you're shooting for the fences, he's a big play guy.
That's what we got to have at this point, and those are the decisions that you must make. God bless you if you had, for instance, and we talked about this week. We continue to talk about it forever. This year, if you had T.Y. Hilton, you must now. You've gone way too far. 12.9 points last week, and virtually nothing this week in a game where Rivers throws the ball multiple times and gets over 300 yards. This connection just is not there. And so I bring that up as we move to Dallas because we expect, and I find it very, very interesting, that we expect the wide receiver production with Andy Dalton at quarterback not to fall off. We expect Cooper. We expect CeeDee Lamb. And we also expect Michael Gallup. And a lot of people are saying that Dalton is passing techniques and style of running an offense, which is interesting because we haven't seen him run the Dallas offense, but that his skill set lends itself to favoring Gallup even more. Are you drinking the proverbial Kool-Aid on this one?
No, as Brian Kenny likes to say, I am not a fan of small sample size. And that's what we have last week with him throwing to Gallup. I mean, I think it's just that was just circumstances. He happened to be open. I don't think you can take any. Everybody's putting all his stock into. He must have some kind of relationship with Gallup, and they must be on the same page. Well, I mean, he was in there for a very short time. Let's not get carried away. I do not think this is going to just continue on. Dak Prescott was playing at an MVP type level. I don't think Andy Dalton's going to come in there and keep that level
up. That's a good point.
Somebody probably is going to go down. I don't know that, Gallup's not had a great season fantasy wise so far at all. Cooper's been good. CeeDee Lamb's been really good. I those guys have to take a little bit of a hit here. Like you said, they're probably going to focus a lot more on Ezekiel Elliott. Probably going to get him back more involved in the passing game
Right,
again.
that would be a
And you'll probably
boom.
see the
You know, Zeke has yet
you'll probably see the Titans get this
to
year.
rush for 100 yards as well. And
Yeah, right.
you're right, check downs to the tight end. Schultz may be an option. The guy I see that loses the least is CeeDee Lamb, because he's getting open, because there's so many things in this offense. You can't defend that size and speed with a linebacker and your extra defensive back, and those are the guys that are defending him. So I think you're pretty safe with CeeDee Lamb. Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been so fantastic. And yeah, I still think Gallup's really hit or miss. I like Gallup, but there's just a lot of mouths to feed on that offense. He still will be the one that I would be the most worried about.
There's not a lot to feed in your remaining fantasy rosters for week 6, but these are two games. We're in a week that didn't feature a lot of scoring that you can catch up. And if you're watching our main event leaderboard, this could be the night where your team picks up 20 or 30 spots. And this is a very important night for us. It's a very important week as we move. Sean and I will get together with you again next Thursday night as we preview what is so great about fantasy football, because we got two teams in football that are going the wrong way. And a football fan might say, oh, the Giants are they're terrible, having a terrible year, and they're playing the Eagles, and the Eagles are less of what we expected. I don't even know if I'm going to watch that game. Now, if you're a fantasy football game a fan, you would realize that both these teams have lots of potential. You would realize that there's some emerging players on it, and it's a very, very compelling game. So thank God for fantasy football. Giants and Eagles, we'll talk to you about that on Thursday. Sean, closing shots on what was week 6, any free agency pickups that you personally did or you saw that you were impressed with or proud of?
Out of necessity, I had to go with Kirk Cousins this week because I picked off the waiver wire because I knew they were facing my hapless Falcons. I'm glad my Falcons finally got a win, by the way, but anyway, that's another story. And then also, again, it just proves you can always go against the Jets as I picked up the Dolphins a few places and played the Dolphins. That was a nice pickup, but
Amazing that the Dolphins defense is available. Really.
yeah, I mean, they weren't widely available. I wasn't able to get them everywhere. There wasn't most of the places. There wasn't a lot of great defensive matchups out there. A lot of people, I think, either probably picked up the Giants or the Washington football team, probably, because they figured, just at least you weren't going to get hurt on a big score from either one of those other teams, more than likely. So that probably worked out pretty well for some folks as well, I'm sure.
That's exactly right. And you take a situation with Miami, the defensive-minded coach with a lot of studs. You look at some of the size that they have on that defense. And defense is a slow cook, and it's a marathon. And if you've got those Dolphins, you're likely going to be employing them again. Waiver wires that I saw. I've been on this player for a while, and I've got him on most all of my teams now. JD McKissick, because of game script and skill set, continues to be a very good ball player for the Washington Football Club, and he continues to be even a better one for fantasy players. So he's putting up, 12, 13, 14, and as we approach bye weeks, he outscored a lot of running backs yesterday. McKissick was a player. Sean, I went on the waiver wire in the FFPC Sunday morning, and I just was unhappy with one of the running backs that I had to play. Injuries and bye weeks and situations got me in a bit of a quandary. I picked up our old pal Frank Gore, and I said, if I could get double digits out of him, I'll be more proud of this waiver wire pickup. So I put my $3 in. and I got Frank Gore, and I started him. And God bless the old man. He got me 11 points in a game when his offense got nowhere near scoring the ball. So, you know, I was pretty proud of that one. Use your experience to realize that across the league, there's always players that can contribute. And the player that I started in front of was Malcolm Brown. And I asked 8 or 9 fantasy players, who should I start, Frank Gore or Malcolm Brown? And it was 0 for Gore, 8 for Brown. So naturally, I was going to start Gore. And so, you know, in our business, when you say everybody can't be wrong, you know that's not right. So it's Sean, I really appreciate you joining us. I wish you continued success in the KFFSC. Good team or bad, Sean Ligon is always in there swinging for the fences. That's baseball knowledge, and you are a great baseball fan. You took one on the chin last night as your beloved Atlanta Braves lost their way into the World Series. Our good friend and league member, John Atkins, who's involved in Los Angeles Dodgers front office activities, his Dodgers moved to the World Series. Give us the Sean Ligon breakdown. Who's going to take the World Series, Tampa Bay Rays or the famous Dodger organization?
You know, that was tough to watch last night, but Dodgers are very, very, very good team and just a little too many arms for my Braves to combat. Here, though, I think, you know, Tampa's kind of made for this situation. They're made for no days off and all this bullpen activity.
Mm-hmm.
Kershaw being somewhat shaky, you know, the injury situations of late. I think Tampa gets it done. I think it's gonna be a really good series. So these were the two best teams all year. It's very rare in baseball you actually get the two best teams playing in the World Series, but we have it this year, so we're gonna find out. But yeah, I'm not rooting either way. I don't have anything against either one of these teams, but guess I'm gonna have to go with the Rays.
Going with the Tampa Bay Rays for Sean Ligon. Buddy, thank you for joining us. We'll see you again Thursday as we preview that matchup, Giants and Eagles, and we'll see you then. Thanks for coming on.
All right.